following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
Tis the season of gift buying. And so we're going to look at what I call the perfect gift. We read just now, or John read for us. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. God has certainly given us his best. We're going to be looking at that. But I just wanted to, I've been thinking about the whole gift thing. I got a phone message, a voicemail from a friend of mine. And it went something like this. He said, there's this book I've been wanting to get you for a really long time. And I finally got it for you. And I'm so excited to give you this book. And then he said, but I don't think you'll like it. Like, what's that? I don't know if he took a course in gift giving. Hopefully I will like it. Looks nice anyway, but you can't judge a book by its cover. So I wanted to share some interesting gift ideas that I've encountered. This first one, and hopefully this is going to work. It worked the first time. Yes, it's getting better. So you might be wondering what that is. Well, that's actually an object. Years ago, I was working in a camp. I wasn't a believer at the time. Maybe that had something to do with it. And it was our supervisor's birthday. And he was one of those, what do you get for the man who has everything? So I discovered that at Burke's Jewelers, they sold retractable sterling silver toothpicks. What's so funny? We spent a pretty penny, but I guess we don't have pennies now. That's not it, but I found a photo of one that was just like it. But I don't know if it's really that strange. Once you realize that there exists today the selfie toaster. This is the selfie toaster. You could take a picture of yourself and you put it a special way in the toaster and you could toast your toast and eat your face. Or your best friend's face. So this is probably on the extreme side. But, you know, this one, this next one, I was thinking just beforehand that what happens if you bought one of these things for somebody this season? Well, hopefully you thought it was funny. This is quite useful. It's the drape umbrella. I don't know if you could see that, but there's clear plastic all the way down to the ground. And this makes a lot of sense. When you're especially in places that are a little windy, if it's too windy, you can't use an umbrella at all. But I think this is pretty handy. But maybe you don't want a full-blown umbrella. All you want to do is make sure your shoes don't get wet. The shoe umbrella. I know after the service, if you want, you can come up to me and find out where you could get these. Actually, this one's a little... Anyway, I think this is most useful. This is actually a contraption to help you take eye drops. This makes sense. So those aren't really his glasses. You put the glasses on and then you could drop. Because if you ever try to put eye drops yourself, it's not easy, right? This is perfect. You can do a lot with this one. So we'll move on. Some of you are thinking, thankfully. And we're going to look at God's perfect gift. God's perfect gift. But what makes a perfect gift? You can compare it to some of the ones that I just showed you. But so I gave this some thought. And the first thing I thought of was, for a gift to be perfect, it should be appropriately fitting in every way. It should be just right. And part of that, it needs to be suited for the recipient, both now and for the future, for the perfect gift. Now, of course, we all know the proverbial buying your wife the chainsaw sort of idea, the perfect, you know, this sort of thing. And we do that sometimes. We'll buy a gift that actually is more for us than for them. I don't know if anyone wants to admit that. You can come and confess after the service if you've done that sort of thing. But a perfect gift has the other person in mind and it is appropriately fitting in every way. Along with that, it should truly benefit the recipient. And the more benefits, the better, for the perfect gift. Thirdly, it needs to deliver. So it actually has to do what it says it will do. And I'm sure we can have some stories this morning of you thought you bought the perfect gift, and it looked like it was the perfect gift, except it didn't really work. I would feel really let down if that eyedropper thing didn't work, because that really gets, that has my hopes up. So many things promise, but they don't deliver. The perfect gift truly delivers. And fourthly, it should be enduring, long-lasting. Now, some gifts, you know, they seem like a good idea at the time. Some gifts are a good idea, but just for a time. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm looking at the real, all-encompassing, perfect gift, not just the one for the moment. And I don't want to in any way put down the need to get the right thing at the right time for the right person. And some of those things, you know, the card that the person needs, to the words of which they need to hear at that time, those are very precious, very powerful, even though it may not be long-lasting. It's for the moment. So now we're going to look at how God fulfills what I think are the requirements for the perfect gift. First of all, God's perfect gift does what is the most important thing of anything. And it reconnects us with God. Now, of course, this is something that not everybody knows they need. Advertising works this way. They present you with things that you didn't know you need. You didn't know that you needed an iPhone until you saw the iPhone. And I don't want to compare God to an iPhone. I wouldn't do that. But sadly, people don't know how much they need God until they reconnect with Him. And by knowing God, we are restored. As human beings, we're restored to what we're really made for. So in this verse, Romans 5:10, "For if while we're enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life?" There's actually so much here. But this tells us that when we could care less, when we were going our own way, God provided the way for us to be reconciled with Him through what Jesus did on the cross. And by doing that, we're rescued. I'll say it almost every time I can. The Bible word saved, salvation, is really the word to be rescued. And we need to be rescued and set on the track of life that we need to be set on. And God does this through Jesus. And everything else flows out of being put on track. Through Him, we find out who we really are. And when we know who we really are, then we could be what we were meant to be. Jesus provides that for us. What God has done for us truly benefits us. Touched on that already in some way, but we'll look at this verse and a bit of a verse from Ephesians 1:7 to the beginning of verse 8. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us." Through what Jesus has done, we are forgiven. Human beings carry the burden of shame and guilt. It's so shameful we don't talk about it. But everyone is actually walking around with this heavy burden that there's something wrong with us. We might be in touch with the wrong things that we have done. Or we might carry a dull ache of just, we are not right with ourselves, with our loved ones, with God, with the universe. And through Jesus, the burden of shame and guilt are removed. Very familiar verse reminds us that through God's gift, we're given life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life in the scriptures has to do with this thing called life from the age to come. We are anticipating the return of the Lord when He will set things right. We don't hear about this on the news, but it doesn't mean that it's true. Judgment is coming. People are freaked out about climate change. Whatever the truth is about climate change and all the worry there is about climate change is nothing, because the King is going to return. The King is going to judge every human being. And if we are not right with Him, we are in big trouble. But if we know Him, not only can we anticipate an a life in the future forever that is beyond anything that we can imagine. But the reality of that life that we're anticipating in the future can be experienced now. That's a whole lot better than shoe umbrellas. Way better than even the latest iPhone. Another benefit that we have, and these are all related, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I should bring up a price list of the top estheticians, beauty places, whatever they're called in Ottawa, and see how expensive a full makeover is. People spend big bucks on changing face and hair and nails when there is a makeover that we could have in Jesus. And I just want to say, when we talk like this, and I prepare a message like this, I can feel that for some people, talking like this is kind of like just same old, same old. Yeah, yeah, I know. If that's our reaction, then you have never truly experienced the makeover that you could have in Jesus. Yeah, yeah, I know what that's like. You know, somebody's talking about a fine type of drink or a fine type of food. And yeah, yeah, I know. Well, then you probably have never actually had it. There is life and goodness and power and ability and things beyond our wildest dreams that we can have. We've been promised that if we believe in Jesus, he completely remakes us. It gets better. He gives us power for living. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What we have in Jesus is not just a wishful hope for the future, but there's an energizing empowerment that is ours if we truly believe in him. We could face our problems. That doesn't mean they're going to be not painful, but we can actually face our issues with courage if we have really received God's perfect gift. And along with that, he told us that he will never leave us or forsake us. We are not, if we receive his gift of the Lord Jesus, God will be with us always. We don't always feel that he's there, but he's promised to be with us at all times forever. These are the benefits that we have when we receive God's perfect gift. So remember I said a perfect gift has to be appropriately fitting for the person you're giving it to. Well, God has designed his perfect gift for each and every one of us who's here today and those who are not with us here today. It needs to truly benefit us. And I've tried to explain some, nowhere near all of the benefits that we have from God's perfect gift. I mentioned that a perfect gift needs to deliver. It needs to do what it says it will do. I was listening to a wonderful conversation. I'd never heard this man speak before, but John Lennox is a multi-PhD scientist who's a great defender of biblical faith. And he said so clearly in this conversation I was listening to is that he does not believe in blind faith. If you think true faith is blind faith, you're wrong. Our faith is based on the evidence of what God has done, the evidence of what God's done in history and what God does in the lives of people who truly trust in him. And sometimes what we've done, we've looked at people who supposedly believe in Jesus and they're terrible advertisements because they don't really believe in him or their lives are so messed up. And then we associate those bad experiences with him and then we write Jesus off. But what about those who have truly lived godly lives? They're really out there. Hopefully some of them are in this room. But people who trust in him are not disappointed, and those who truly know him bear the fruit of God's reality. God delivers what he has promised. And God's gift is enduring. It will last forever. Another thing I want to point out, that one of the things about God's perfect gift is that it's pure gift. You know, it's very difficult for us to give a gift that's that it has no mixed motive in it. With God, it's pure gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. God, out of his generosity, for no other reason but his love, has given to us eternal life if we will receive it. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, which means to trust in him, all who received him, who trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, what I'm going to say next, I'm going to wrap this up, drives theologians and scholars crazy. But sometimes, I love great scholarship. But people have a hard time in understanding the relationship between God's free gift and how it connects with us. But let me say, in order for a gift to benefit someone, they have to receive it. You can't just look at it. You gotta receive it. I was gonna say, people? Would that be too offensive? Gotta receive it, people. You gotta receive it. And I mentioned this before. It's another one of my favorite ones. In our culture, we teach, and we have a mix of cultures here. Thank God. Thank God we have a mix of cultures here. Because this is how we can learn from one another. There's gifts in this room to be shared from the different cultures that we're not receiving. And there are some cultures that teach their children to say, you shouldn't have, when they're given a gift. You shouldn't have. And there are people that have been taught that if you haven't earned it, it can't be yours. You have to earn something for it to be yours. And that's so contrary to God's generosity, where he has given us something that is for us to receive freely, which means we have to have an attitude of reception. We have to be there with open arms, open mouths, open hearts, open ears, open minds for all that God wants to give. Oh, but I don't deserve it. You're right. It's not about deserving it. God loves his creation so much that he's willing to pour out gift after gift after gift upon us. And he wants his children to never get tired of receiving. But we've got to be willing to receive. But I wonder if there are some people here that are raised in households that the gift of Jesus was just kind of there. You grew up with it there. Well, that's great. My wife and I grew up in households where Jesus wasn't there. So you grew up in a household possibly where Jesus was there. So he was there. But was he here? Was he in you? Was he part of your life? So I have to ask the question. Have you ever personally received Jesus? Have you yourself ever received Jesus? Because you could just be looking at him. Oh, he looks really interesting in the life of my wife, or in my life of my husband, or like my parents. Oh, did they love the Lord? My parents, they love the Lord. Well, what about you? My grandmother, oh, did she love the Lord? What about you? That reality that you have observed, have you ever allowed it to do its, because it's not going to count. It's not going to count unless you yourself have received it. There's no sense in doing what we do here. If the bulk of the people in this congregation have not allowed Jesus to be reality in your life, it can't work. It doesn't work. Jesus will not do what he wants to do unless you yourself have received him in your heart yourself. And I'm not simply talking about saying a prayer. I did that when I was almost 19. I say this prayer. But if that was it, still will do us no good. We need to allow him to access our lives on an ongoing basis. We need to engage the gift regularly, all the time. Not only every day, but every moment of every day, the reality of the perfect gift of God needs to be working in our lives all the time. Or else you will never really experience what God's perfect gift really is. You will not experience his power. God will not truly be with you. You will never find out who you really are until you receive and access the gift of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you that you have designed the perfect gift for us. Father, I ask for those of us that have dabbled in your truth and your goodness, that you would show us that that's what we've been doing and help us to fully receive what you have done. Fully receive your Son into our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has never welcomed your Son into their lives, may this be a day of newness as they receive your perfect gift. We thank you.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.